observing God's faithfulness. Observing God's faithfulness. Observing God's faithfulness towards us, right? That he is faithful towards us. That one of the attributes of God is that he's faithful. And he's faithful to all times, and he's faithful to all people. And he's faithful to you, and he's faithful to me. And I want to look at the story here of Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, which is a story that is very dear to me, that I love quoting and sharing. And today, I look forward to teaching with regard to this story, where it ministers to us, where we see God's faithfulness towards Jacob and the call of Jacob's life, even in a time when Jacob wasn't doing as well as we would hope that he would be doing. So Genesis chapter 28, we're going to start at verse 10 to verse 22. You may stay seated as we read the scripture. Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of that place, he put it under his head and laid down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall be the families of the earth be blessed. Shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And will go and will bring you back to the land. And will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is direction for us, O Lord. It is a compass for life. Father, I pray that your word will land in our hearts today and draw us closer to you. Father, I pray that you would just use me as a speaker of your voice to bring forth your word, that you would anoint me for this hour, for this sermon. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Observing God's faithfulness. God is faithful all the time. In this sermon today, I'd like to just kind of share, although we may at times struggle in our walk of faith, although you and I may struggle sometimes in our walk of faith, we may even make some bad choices in our walk of faith, that does not mean that God rejects us or he is far from us. On the contrary, God continues to be faithful towards us, drawing us closer to him, calling on us, leading us. He still is interested in finding us and bringing us to a place to be with him. I love the thought that God never forsakes us, although we forsake him. That he never closes his eyes towards us and say, well, let them be what they want to be. Never. He never says that. He never says, well, go ahead. This is no. He's always, even in the midst of our bad choices, always trying to pull us right. How many say amen? You know, even sometimes as parents, we're like, all right, this is how you want to live. Vete con Dios. You know, but God is not like that. Even when we're not doing the best that we should be, he's still calling us towards him. He's still calling us towards him. That's God's faithfulness towards us. So I just want to look at the story of Jacob. And I love this story. It's ministered to me on many occasions. And just let's look at where Jacob is. And I want to talk about four things today. I want to talk about Jacob's condition. I want to talk about Jacob's experience, Jacob's promises, and Jacob's reaction. But before we get into Genesis 28, a little bit about Jacob for those that maybe are not familiar with him. Well, Jacob, he is the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, right? So we all know the Bible, we hear, you know, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? So here we have Jacob. He's the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac, right? He is son to Isaac and Rebekah. And when Rebekah was pregnant with Jacob, she had twins, Jacob and Esau. She was pregnant of both, expecting both twins. And the Lord speaks to her and tells her that the older one would serve the younger one, which is not common in those times, as we understand that the primary child would be the first child. So we see here that that God speaks to her and tells her that the older one would serve the younger one. And the Bible also teaches us that as Jacob and Isaac grew, as they grew older, Jacob leaned towards his mom. So he helped his mom in the house, and he helped cook, and he helped clean, and he helped shepherd in the house. And Esau was closer to his father, Isaac, and they were hunters. And the Bible tells us, and I want to encourage you to this week read the whole story of Jacob's life and his sons. So you can start at Genesis chapter 25 and just run it through Genesis. It's a great story, and you'll read about Joseph and all that happened in Joseph's life and Jacob's children. So you can start at Genesis chapter 25 and read all of Genesis. It's a good Bible read for you this week. So we see here in the Bible, we're taught this, and we're taught that one day Esau had been out hunting with his father, and he came back famished. And he came back famished, and he approaches his brother, and he tells his brother, hey, give me some food to eat. And his brother says, sell me your birthright for this bowl of soup. And Esau says, I'm so hungry, what good is the birthright without if I'm dead? So he says, I'll sell you my birthright. I'm paraphrasing here. Give me the soup. And here the story tells us that Jacob gives him bread and soup, and he sells his birthright. And the Bible says that he rejected this birthright. So time goes on, and they continue to grow, and we see that Jacob and Esau are going two different roads. Jacob tending to his mom, Esau tending to his father. It gets to the point that as Isaac is an older man, he's losing his vision. Rebekah, Jacob's mother, gets together with Jacob. They plan and they deceive Isaac. And Isaac gives the birthright blessing to Jacob and not to Esau. So this is all found in the Bible in your reading this week. It's going to pop out at you as you read it. And this was a big thing. In fact, when Esau comes back and he finds himself with his father, Isaac, Isaac says, didn't I give you the blessing? Because Isaac was deceived. And Isaac says, and Esau says, no, you didn't give it to me. And they realize they gave it to Jacob. And Esau says, is there not another blessing for me? And Isaac says, no, I could only do this one time. And the Bible says that Esau comforted his heart with the thought, when my father dies, I will kill my brother. He comforts himself with this thought. Now, Esau is a hunter. He's a man's man. Jacob is a mama's boy. Right? So Jacob is now, he's now scared. Not only is Jacob scared, Rebekah, his mother, is scared. They know Esau. They know that he means business. So they put a plan together, Rebekah and Jacob, and they said, hey, let's send Jacob to my house, Rebekah speaking, to my brother's house, Laban, which was about a three-day walk from them, where he can find a woman and he can marry and he can live his life. And so they set this plan together, and that's what Jacob does. He's on his way to Laban's house, his uncle's house. It's a three-day walk. That's where we read the story in Genesis chapter 28. So he's on his way to Laban's house, and he has this experience where he puts his head on the rock to go to sleep at nighttime. God wakes him up in a dream. God speaks to him in a dream. He sees angels. He sees a ladder touching heaven and touching earth, and angels ascending and descending, and God speaks a promise over his life, and God ministers to him there. So that's where we are here today. So four things: Jacob's condition, Jacob's experience, Jacob's promises, Jacob's reaction. The first one, Jacob's condition. So he's on his way to his uncle's house. He finds himself alone, depressed, anxious. He finds himself insecure of his future. He finds himself afraid. Esau is comforting himself with the thought, I'm going to kill my brother. And this is the situation in which Jacob finds himself. All that he has known, all the security that he has known in his mother and father's house is now gone. He doesn't have it no more. He's on his way to an uncle's house. And it's not like these days, well, let me send my brother an email, let him know my son is on the way. Right? So he's on his way. They have no idea that he's on his way there. He's on his way there. He's going there to meet a wife. He's going there to run from Esau. Right? And here he is in a bad place. His condition is a condition of loneliness, of anxiety, of depression, of insecurity. He is in a bad place. And it's there where God meets him in that condition. And as we look at biblical patterns, we can see that Jesus often met people in bad conditions. If you remember when he met the woman with the issue of blood and she reached out and he healed her, right? The paralyzed person, right? He met the person there in their condition, and they have been paralyzed for 38 years, and yet Jesus meets them there. He's constantly meeting people in their condition, in their need. God is a God that understands who we are. He never says, well, you're on your own. He's always drawing us back. This is the biblical pattern. We see this. Perhaps today you're struggling even in your own walk today. Maybe there's some things that are happening in your life today and you feel like, man, I need direction. I want to let you know that God, he's faithful to us in every condition of life. Even when we were lost in sin, lost in shame, broken, it was there where he met us. He was faithful to us even there. Perhaps today you're dealing with something in your life. Maybe it's some type of sickness. I want to remind you that God is faithful. He's faithful towards us, and he meets us there. Maybe you're dealing with some type of hard time at home with your spouse or your children. Maybe you're also dealing with some loneliness or fatigue in your life, or you're battling some type of depression in your life. I want to let you know that God is faithful, and in any condition, he will meet us there. Maybe you find yourself insecure about tomorrow. Lord, what's going to happen with me tomorrow? What are you doing in my life, whether it be career, whether it be education, whether it be something ministerial, and there's a battle within you. I want to let you know that regardless of your condition, God is faithful and he will meet us there. Maybe you're one person who has said, I made some really bad choices in my life. I've made choices that I know brought consequences that I'm dealing with today. I just want to let you know that God will meet you there. You're not lost, and there's not hope. God meets us even when we've made bad choices. That condition is not enough that God can't reach us. Even in those times when we're dealing with consequences that we wish we would not have to deal with, God is still faithful in us to help us through those hard times. Like Jacob, sometimes the journey of life takes us down a road, a desert, a condition that we never expected. But I want to remind you, like Jacob, in this journey of life, on your road to the next, for Jacob it was his uncle's house, on your road to the next, God allows pauses in our lives to speak into our hearts and to remind us, regardless of our circumstance, he's not far from us. Regardless, he's not far from us. And the church says, amen. Amen. Jacob's condition. Many of us can relate to that. I'm in a place where I need something new. God says, I'm not far from you. Number two, Jacob's experience, verse 11 and 12. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and laid down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth and its top reaching the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. His experience is that he has this dream. And he sees angels ascending and descending a ladder that touches heaven and touches earth. God appears to him in a dream. And God is letting him know, I am here with you. And today I want to remind you that this dream for us is a typology of Jesus. The only one that could ever touch heaven and touch earth is the Son of God, is Jesus. He is the only perfect one that has abided in heaven and also abided in earth. And our experience is that we have had an encounter with the living God, with the Son of God, with Jesus himself, who met us in our time of need, who met us in our condition, and he reminded us that he has a purpose with our lives. Although things were not right with Jacob, God will let him know, I'm still ministering to you. And the angels ascending and descending, they're ministering spirits is what the Bible says. And God was letting him know, I'm still ministering to you. I still have a purpose in your life. I'm still doing something new within you. My plan with your life has not been cut off. I still have a purpose with you, Jacob. And the Lord speaks to us today and reminds us, regardless of our condition, the only one that has touched heaven and touched earth, he is still dealing with us. He's still working within us. He has saved us to transform us, to take us into a life that glorifies his name. That is our experience. And it's not one to be taken lightly. This is not a religion in which we learn through books. This is an experience that we have come to understand that the living God has reached us and has transformed us. And it hasn't been about us, because he took us in our broken condition and he still ministered to us. So it doesn't have to do with how good we are, how gifted we are, where we've been positioned. No, simply the grace of God that wakes us up in our times of need and lets us know that he is there for us. So I want to encourage you to approach the throne of grace with confidence, is what the author of Hebrews tells us. To find mercy and grace for the opportune moment. We're reminded that we could approach Jesus, the one that touched heaven and earth, and we could find what we need in him. He satisfies the soul. He quenches the thirst of the person. He satisfies the need, and he meets us in our condition. That's our experience. If you talk to anybody who lives a life of gratitude to the Lord, they'll tell you, I live a life of gratitude to the Lord because in my broken condition, I had an experience that changed my life forever. I want to remind you today in the journey that you are in and your road to the next, I want to remind you that your experience is that you have had an encounter with Jesus, the one that has touched heaven and touched earth. And he is speaking to us today. And maybe some would say, well, I need God to speak to me like he spoke to Jacob. God speaks to us that way. Perhaps it's through a dream. The Lord has spoken to many through dreams. I would always encourage you to wait for confirmation when it's a dream. But the Lord does speak to us that way. He'll speak to us through a Sunday sermon. He'll speak to us through our small groups, through our Bible schools. He'll speak to us as we study the Bible for ourselves. He'll use a friend. He'll use a pastor, a leader, someone to encourage us. And he'll speak to us. He'll speak to us through a song. But we have to open our ears. We have to tune our hearts to hear from the Lord. We have to position ourselves to hear from the Lord, because the Lord wants to remind us that he has promises for us as well. And the church says, Jacob's condition, Jacob's experiences, Jacob's promises. Verses 13 through 15. There above it stood the Lord and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you your descendants, the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Oh my God. Could you imagine how Jacob was feeling right now? That the Lord woke him up. He saw these angels ministering. And then God stands, is what the scripture says, from heaven and speaks to him. And he tells him, man, I will give your descendants this land. Jacob is a single guy on his way to his uncle's house because he's running from his life. And God tells him, I'm going to give you this land. Your descendants will have it as far as the east is from the west, the north is from the south. All this that you see, your descendants will abide in this. What a promise for him. Tells him, and not only that, I'm going to bless your descendants. And he tells him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take you and I'm going to bring you back. And he tells him, I'm going to watch over you wherever you go. And I'm going to bring you back to your father's house. And I will not leave you. And I will not forsake you. That's the word that God gives Jacob in the midst of this broken condition in which he finds himself in. And in this experience, God speaks to him and tells him, hey, God promises for you. And you may not see it now. And maybe things look real dim right now. But I have spoken. You know, it's wonderful to know that we're dealing with a covenant-keeping God. Where God speaks will come to pass. That he is not man to lie, nor son of man to repent. He does not change his mind. When God speaks, it will come to pass. He promises and he fulfills his promises. He is a covenant-keeping God and he has made promises. And when you encounter him, when you experience him, when you've come to know him, you've come to know a covenant-keeping God. And what he says, it will come to pass. And the church says, I want to encourage you, hold on. I've talked about promises in the past, corporate promises and individual promises. Hold on to the promises that the scripture has spoken to us. Sometimes with our eyes, we don't see everything that has been told to us. But we are people of faith and we believe God for what he has spoken. And for Jacob, he could not see this land belonging to his descendants. He could not even comprehend how that would look. I'm not even married. I don't have children. What does this mean? And sometimes we don't see it all. But we have come into encounter with a covenant-keeping God. And I love that he's promised to save us. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but it means everything to me. I know that this is not our last stop. I know that we are pilgrims passing by, strangers in this land. I know that we have a home. I love that Jesus reminds us that it is an eternal home. It's a place with a mansion with many rooms that he has prepared for us, right? I believe the Bible teaches us that it's a place where there's no more sorrow and no more pain and no more sickness. He's promised to save us. He said, if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a corporate promise for anyone who receives it. And he's a covenant-keeping God. And though we live a lifetime, and for us this lifetime here may seem long, but we know it's just a speck on the script of eternity. And we know that he is a God that has promised to save us. And we are reminded that scripture says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. That is a promise for us. He's promised to save us. The Bible says that he's promised to come for us. I know when I talk about this sometimes, to those who don't know, it may sound just strange and sound weird, but the Bible teaches us that one day the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised, and us who are left here, we will find ourselves with Jesus in the clouds. And I know for some that just seems so unrealistic. It seems so unrealistic. But the Bible says that God's word will never pass away. This world will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. The Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in God's word. So we will hold on to the promises of God because he is a covenant-keeping God. So we hold on to it. For Jacob, this was, what? My descendants will have this land? It doesn't make sense. Sometimes what has been promised to us, we don't always see it coming together. But he is a covenant-keeping God. He's promised to give us peace. We live in a world where there's so much chaos, anxiety, insecurity. But Jesus promises all that follow him will understand peace. Peace, not like the world gives it. I love that Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. That doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hardships. We are going to go through some hardships. We are going to have to deal with some battles and sicknesses. In the midst of all those things, we have the peace of God. We have the joy of God. And the world can never understand this peace and this joy because the world doesn't give this peace and this joy. Only God can give this peace and this joy. And that's why the church understands that even in the midst of loss, we still have peace. And we understand that God's will and sovereignty rules over our lives. And when the Bible says that all things work for good for those who love him and are called according to his name, it doesn't mean when we look at that scripture that everything that we go through, a good consequence comes out of it. It doesn't mean that. And I think that we, when we quote that verse, need to quote it with carefully. When it says all things work for good, you continue to read that scripture, it's talking about an eternal promise for us. An eternal promise for us. God is faithful to his promises. And the church says, you know, when Jacob heard these promises, I promise to be with you. I promise to bless your descendants. I promise to give this land to your descendants. I promise to bring you back to your father's house. I bet you that those promises encouraged him. I bet you that they gave him hope. I'm not going to die in this desert. They gave him hope. I bet you that they gave him a spirit of perseverance. I'm going to battle. I'm going to wake up from this. I'm going to make a covenant. And I'm going to move on because God has promised me these things. They encouraged him. They gave him hope and a spirit of perseverance. I would hope that once we come to understand the promises of God, that in this season that we live, in this journey of life that we have, that God's promises would not just be something that we've come to understand or know, but it would be something that encourages us. Oh, no. I can overcome. It would be something that gives us hope. I'm not going to die in this desert. And it would be something that would allow us or give us the energy to persevere and push through because we understand that God is a covenant-keeping God and his promises are yes and amen. They were for yesterday and they are for today as well. And we hold on to those promises because we know that they come from a covenant-keeping God. Right? God is faithful towards us. Regardless of our condition, he's faithful. He gives us experiences to remind us that he is near to us. Though he's touched heaven, he's also touched earth. And in the midst of this relationship, regardless of our condition, because of our experiences, because of our experience with him, he gives us promises that are only for the church of Christ. Only for the church. It's only for his people. And our last point this morning is Jacob's reaction. So Jacob, in the midst of this condition, has this experience, hears these promises for his life. Look at his reaction. Verse 16 through 22. When Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head and set it as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me the food to eat and the clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." Jacob's reaction. So Jacob had four reactions that I want to mention briefly. The first one was amazement. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it." It's amazed. He was amazed. He was in awe. "My God, God was with me, and I didn't even know it." He was in awe. Doesn't that sound like us sometimes? "Man, God, you were with me, and I didn't even know it. You helped me. You supplied for me. You led me to that job. You led me to this person in my life. You led me to this church. I didn't even know it, Lord. And you were with me." We live amazed at some of the things that God has allowed in my life and in my wife's life and our family. We live amazed that God, why would you take people like us to do some of these things? We live in amazement to think that God would do this. Amazed. He was amazed. "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it." What's another reaction? Amazement, reverence. Jacob's second reaction was reverence to the place. He was afraid, is what it said. He was afraid. "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the gate of it. He was afraid. He came to understand that God demands reverence. His encounter with God, the dream, demanded reverence. This was not something mystical. This was not something crazy. This was an encounter with the living God. And it demands reverence. His reaction to a God that reaches him in his condition, that gives him an experience of heaven and earth, that brings promises upon his life, drew him to reverence. Drew him to understand that this is holy ground. Take your sandals off because the place in which you walk is holy ground. It understands that it calls for holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. It draws us to reverence, to understand that He is the Almighty God. Draws us to this. That's His reaction. So His reaction is amazement, His reverence. His third reaction we can see is He makes a covenant. Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he said a prayer, if God would be with me. Makes a covenant. A covenant. We are people today that we should have made covenant with God. God, I will serve you all the days of my life. I will serve you all the days of, come hell or come high water, I will serve you all the days of my life. In wealth or in famine, I will serve you all the days of my life. In health or in sickness, I will serve you all the days of my life. That we would make covenant with God. That we would not be like the wind that blows us here and there, no. That we would not be yes or no, no. That we would make covenant with God. I've come to understand that in my broken condition, I had an experience with the only one that could touch heaven and touch earth. And He has poured promises upon my life. And it draws me to make a covenant with Him. And say, I will serve the Lord and only the Lord. I will serve the Lord. His reaction is amazement. God is with me. Reverence, fear, covenant making, and then gratitude. Then gratitude. Because the Lord has promised me this. Because the Lord has reached me in this condition. I've had this experience. Those promises, gratitude. He said, man, Lord, I will give you a tenth of all that I have. He said, well, it was like a desperate man. I am so thankful to the Lord. All my energy and my gifting and what we have and find, it all belongs to you, Lord. I've come to understand that this is not something religious. This is not something mystical. This is not something historical. It's my experience. It's my reality. I've had an experience with the Lord, and I'm grateful. And because of that, I want to give to the Lord all that I can. My gifting belongs to you. My energy belongs to you. My passion is yours. I'm committed to you, Lord. It's a life of gratitude. Here he uses the word, I'll give you my tithes from all that I have. I use this to illustrate. It comes from my heart. Lord, I just want to give back to you, Lord. Because I recognize that you have been good to me. You've been good to me. Observing God's faithfulness. Have you observed God's faithfulness towards your life? As I close our teaching this morning, what is our reaction? What is our reaction to our walk with God? How are we living? How are we serving? How are we giving? How are we separating ourselves? Is there a difference between us and the world? I've said this before. There's such a temptation within the church to be so relevant that we're missing something. We want the world to be so impressed with us that they would see Jesus, and because they're so impressed with us. No, there needs to be a difference in the church. There has to be a difference. We are people that have been set aside. That's what sanctification means. You've been set aside. So as I close our teaching this morning, observe God's faithfulness towards you, towards me, towards us as a church, towards His body. Observe His faithfulness. Life journey has brought us to so many different places. I know some of you deal with some really hard issues at home. I know that. I know some of you are in, you're in this place in your life where, you know, you're just waiting for the next. I know that's your condition. I know that some are dealing with financial issues. Some are dealing with doubt, a lack of faith even in God. And it's okay to say that's where I am. I'm dealing with even a lack of faith in God. I even have questions. I wonder, is it? And that's okay to say those things. It would be hypocritical not to. That's our condition. That's okay. But I want you to know that God is faithful to you in whatever condition you're in. Even if someone were to say, I have doubts. Well, God doesn't say, well, if you doubt me, I'm out of here. No, no, He's still drawing you closer. That's our condition. He meets us there. He's faithful to us in our condition. How? Through an experience with His Son, Jesus, the only one that can touch heaven and earth. And He receives us just the way that we are. I love that. He's the only one that understands what it is to sit at the right hand of God. And He's the only one that understands incarnation. If Jesus is not God, then He cannot save us. And if He's not man, He cannot sympathize with us. He knows us. And He knows exactly what we need. And that's why He gave His life for us. That's our experience. And once you've come to understand that, you inherit these beautiful promises. I only mentioned three to you today, but there's a ton of them. I mentioned the promise to be saved, the promise of heaven, the promise of peace. But you inherit these promises because of your experience with Him in your condition. So what should your reaction be? It should be one of awe, amazement. God is surely with me. Reverence. I'm not taking this lightly. This is God. He demands holiness, and it should change my life. Covenant keeping. I will serve the Lord. And gratitude of all that I have. Of all that I have. I give it back to you, God. I give it back to you. Because you have been faithful to me. Because you have been faithful to me. So I give it all back to you. I'm going to invite you to stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. It speaks life to us, O Lord. It speaks life to us. It draws us to you, Lord. It wakens things up within us that need to be awoken. It moves stagnant waters. It sheds light on dark places in our lives, O Lord. Father, I pray, O Lord, today that your word would land deep in our hearts to remind us, Lord, of our condition, our experience, our promises, and our reactions, O Lord. There's someone here today who's far from you. Today is a good day for them, O Lord. Regardless of their condition, you're the only one that's touched heaven and touched earth, and you draw them to you, Lord. There's someone here today that is far from you, Lord, that they would hear your word speaking to their life and calling them. Maybe we, the church, in this journey of life, understanding our condition, we thought that you weren't near us. We thought that you wasn't hearing us. We're walking this journey in this desert, and for Jacob it was a dream, but today you use this sermon to remind us that you speak to our lives. That you speak to our lives. That our experience with you will be one that will change our lives forever, and we will inherit promises that only a covenant-keeping God can give, and help us to react in a way that honors you, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. as we sing this next song. Maybe there's someone here that the Lord is speaking to in a special way. And you're saying, I want a prayer to apply this word to my life. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. Maybe there's someone here today who's visiting us, or maybe you're not visiting us, but you're far from God. God is speaking to you and telling you, in this condition, I'm calling you. I'm calling you in this condition. In the condition that you're in, I'm calling you. Because I want to remind you that I've saved you, that I have promises for you, and I want to radically change your life. So maybe there's someone here today that the Lord is speaking to. As we sing the song, the altar is open. God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.